All right, Bulldog Drummond, stay where you are.
So it's you, Fu Manchu.
Yes, it's me. You've walked right into my little trap. How unwise of you to bring the girl.
I go everywhere with Drummond, and you don't scare me, Fu Manchu.
We shall see. This time I've prepared a rather interesting fate for you both. All right, into this room. Well, goodbye, Bulldog Drummond and friend. I don't think we shall be hearing much more of you.
Drummond, we're really trapped this time.
Don't worry, old girl. We'll find a way somehow.
The door is bolted. The windows are barred. And... Look, the ceiling is beginning to descend.
Fiendish devil.
Oh, what are we going to do?
Wait, I've got it.
What?
Come on, quickly. There's our way out, through the fireplace.
That was an excerpt from The Great Escape. In our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Rosa Houses. The Stratford-on-Avon Mummers. And Dadders. Miss Lottie Left Hook.
She's a knockout.
And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, or as they sometimes refer to him in Brighton, the Doe. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello and welcome to yet another Beyond Our Ken. You know, we've often wondered which part of the show you like best, so we asked a cross-section of listeners, and their reply was unanimous. The bit they liked best was this.
You have either been listening to or have just missed.
So now we know. All right, now let's see what's been happening since we met. Monday, well, I got off to a bad start by forgetting to wash my hair. It's a regular routine sort of job every Monday morning, and, well, my hair rather looks forward to it. However, I apologized, put some lotion on it, and got out my comb, and we parted the best of friends. On Tuesday, I attended the local poetry lovers' circle and heard some very unusual verse readings given by a young lady from Gloucester. On Wednesday, I ran into a painter friend of mine who really can be called a true artist. Well, to give you an idea of just how dedicated he is, the other night he invited the girl back to the flat to see his etchings and actually sold her one. Which brings us to our Hornorama feature.
Topics of our time, in which we take a closer look at people and events in the news.
Yet another post office raid this week. Quite frankly, it's a wonder to us how they ever get away with it.
All right, I've got a gun. Now hand over all the money you got.
Next counter, I'm at lunch.
Here, you. This is a sticker. I want all your money.
I'm sorry, only up to £10 on demand.
Oh, never mind. I'll go somewhere else.
A recent television documentary dealt with the problem of vagrancy, and we were made sharply aware of those who sleep out in the streets of London every night. We've invited one such vagrant to the studio today. How do you do, sir?
How do you do, sir? Thank you. Nice and warm in here, isn't it? All right for a kick, you see, because I'm bitter cold, you know.
Yes.
I've been bitter. I'm coming for the warm, you see.
Yes, I can see that. Well, now, sir.
Bitter cold.
If I may interrupt just for a moment.
Close up, you know. Close up. Oh, I'm bitter.
Look, sir. Look, yes. We've only got 10 minutes.
Oh,
now, in these distressing circumstances,
yes,
would you describe yourself?
A filthy old tramp. Yeah, you ain't got a fag on you, have you?
No, I'm afraid I don't smoke.
Ah, pity. What about something for a meal?
You've already been all round the cast, and
yes.
I saw you.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, they all club together and they give me this. I haven't seen one of these Strutney Vips since before the war. The silver one.
All right, silver one. I'll give you something for a meal.
Oh, thank you, sir. About £3 will do.
£3 for a meal?
Well, I tip heavily.
Now, all right. Now, look, here's 10 bob for you. Tell us something about yourself. You've got nowhere to live.
No, sir, nowhere. I sleep out every night under the newspaper. Sometimes on the embankment in a courtyard, an old alleyway, anywhere.
Oh, that's terrible. You've got nowhere terrible. Permanent then.
Nowhere permanent then. No. Oh, no. No. Not until now, you see, because I am glad to say I think I've just found somewhere where I'll be very happy.
Oh, good. Now, yes. Where is it, sir?
The YWCA.
But that's strictly for girls.
Yes, so am I. I'll be there, I can tell you.
I'm sure you will, sir, yes. Trouble in the film industry again, but whatever happens, the popularity of those who regularly appear in films will never wane. There are always sure to be fans.
Hello, Rod.
Hello, Charles. Nightmare, there. What a thrill to meet you like this. After seeing you on the screen so often, I feel I really know you.
Do they all say that, Rod?
Do they? Well, I can't get over it. Tell me, Charles, why are you wearing dark glasses? So that you won't be recognized.
No, Roddy, so I will be recognized. After all, fame should be enjoyed, don't you think? We film people thrive on flattery.
I'm sure you'll get loads of it. And you've got such appeal.
The flatterer.
No, true. Now, I'll tell you something else. I haven't missed one of your pictures.
Oh, thank you, Roddy. Did you see my last film?
Of course. I'm telling you, Charles, when you came on, the whole screen lit up.
Oh, what is? Did I look all right?
Magnificent, Charles. His wonderful physique.
Thanks,
so striking.
Really?
Yes, I just love the way you bash that gong.
And so we come to our panel of experts who are waiting to discuss this week's searching question. Top of the table, the celebrated comedian Hanky Flower.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Mr. Horn. No, nice chap, Kenneth Horn, really. Very nice. And such a gentleman, too. Always opens the door for his wife when she carries the coal in.
No. That's not true. You only said that to get a laugh.
Yes, what happened?
Well, there was a bit there. All right, next we say hello again to the star of the pop charts, Ricky Livid.
Hello, Nat. And about my latest single, some very good news.
Yes, they're not releasing it. Next, here she is again, the lady with a lot in the larder, Fanny Haddon.
Hello again, my darling. And you know something? I was the most talked about person at my dinner party the other night. I served the lobster without dressing.
And I hope it didn't nip you. Well, now, last and by all means least, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love. I mean, last weekend I stayed at the Granby Arms, and there was a girl in the room opposite who really appealed to me. Now, I wouldn't say she'd got anything other girls hadn't got, but she'd got it just across the landing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, that's our theme, and this week's searching question is, does travel really broaden the mind? Thank you, Flowers.
Eh? What? Ah, yes. Well, you see, I wouldn't know. No, I don't like travelling myself. No, you wouldn't get me up in a plane. Anyway, flies against my religion. Yes, I'm a devout coward. No, listen, I did fly in a plane once, you know. Yes, flew in a plane once, you'll never guess what happened. It was terrible. We were flying over Egypt, you see, flying over Egypt, and all of a sudden the plane turned upside down. No, it did, and out I went. Fell right out of the plane. It was a miracle, really. You know what? Within seconds, I was back in the plane again.
Well, how was that?
Those pyramids are sharper than you think.
Yes, I might have known. Now, Ricky David, what about you?
I like travelling and that, because, I mean, I think it definitely broadens the mind. I mean, now and again, I'll go down to Brighton for a quiet weekend. Well, at least it's the sort of weekend you want to keep quiet about. Well, I mean, I've been to Paris as well, you know, and that's very educational. For instance, I studied anatomy at the Folies Bergers. And television was interesting too, and it's much the same as here, only postcard size. I was working there, of course. Sung a few French songs as well.
Did you have any hits?
No, I had quite a few misses.
Well, now, let's see what Fanny Haddock thinks.
Well, my dears, there's no doubt about it. Of course, travel. Travel, my dears, broadens your...
Yeah, so we noticed.
But for one thing, you learn about the different foods in different countries. Those cozy little cafes in France. Oh, and the glorious food of Italy. No one can make such wonderful dishes.
Bolognese.
And the same to you. Oh, my darlings, the thrill of travel, luxury of dining at the captain's table on a big ship and peering out to sea through those little glass windows. Portholes.
And thank you, Father. Now then, Arthur, let's have your views on travel.
Well, I think it's all a load of poppycock. I mean, you don't have to travel to broaden your mind. You can do that around my part of the countryside any time. And anyway, some of these foreign countries are very narrow-minded. I mean, I can wear a bikini in Wiltshire without the authorities getting all up about it. Well, I can, you know. I mean, it's sheer twaddle. I mean, look at me now. I think you'd agree. I think you'd agree. I'm pretty broad-minded.
Yes, I suppose we would.
Well, of course I am, I mean, and I've never been further than Cornwall. Mind you, when I was there, I went a lot further, and I must...
Well, now, that's all from the panel for this week. For here now, to broaden our minds, are the Fraser Hayes Four.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. It's great to be kicking around. There are lots of things to discover. We know that they've just got to be found. Bop, bop, boop, bow. Every time you're near a rose, aren't you glad you've got a nose? And if the dawn is wet with dew, aren't you glad you're you? When a meadow lark appears, aren't you kind of glad you've got two ears? And when your heart is singing too, aren't you glad you're you?
You can see a summer sky, or touch a friendly hand,
or taste an apple pie.
Pardon the grammar,
but ain't life grand? And when you wake up each morn, aren't you glad that you were born? Think what you got the whole day through, aren't you glad you're you?
Every time you're near a road, aren't you glad you've got a nose? And if the dawn is wet with you, aren't you glad you're you?
When a meadow lark appears, aren't you glad you've got to wish? And when your heart is singing too, aren't you glad you're you?
You can see a summer sky, or touch a friendly hand, or taste an apple pie. Pardon the grammar,
but ain't life grand? And when you wake up each morn, aren't you glad that you were born? Think what you got it the whole day through, aren't you glad you're you?
And so to our drama of the week. And this week we turn back the clock to the fashionable, elegant days of yesteryear.
To the days of the Regency bucks and dandy pandies. To the days when a man was judged by the clothes he wore and a woman was judged by... That's another story.
Stand by then as we bring you Beau Brummel, or if you want to get ahead, get a cravat. The scene is the Prince Regent's ball, Pavilion Brighton, where the floor is crowded with gay young things.
Yeah, that shottish was a bit hottish. I must say that apart from being an utterly charming person, you dance exquisitely.
Oh, thank you for saying so.
Not at all, Bear Brummel. 'Tis a pity, though, there is such a shortage of lovely ladies.
It's Prinny, hogging them all, great big fat pompous bore.
Brummel, it's no way to talk of the Prince Regent. After all, this is his party. It's Regent's treat.
Ooh, ooh, counting. You're obviously something of a nit.
Wit.
Oh, sorry, there's a bit of dirt on the strip.
It's a wonder the BBC let it through. Oh, Oh, look, Brummel, here comes that new Regency dandy everyone's talking about. How sartorially elegant he is.
Overdressed is more like it.
Oh, hello, Captain, and who is this, pray?
Permit me to introduce myself. I am Beau Brummel.
Really, you look more like Beau Peep.
Brummel, this is Beau Horn.
Delighted to have you meet me. I say, Beau Horn, those breeches you're wearing, aren't they London breeches?
Yes, how can you tell?
They're falling down.
Oh, thank you. There, that's better now. I must say that you look most elegant indeed, Brummel. You do your tailor a lot of credit.
Well, I do him for as much credit as I can. Matter of fact, I go to Meredith and Oak. Such good material. This is more than you can say for this. Well, I must say this is a very pleasant divertissement.
No, you mustn't. No divertissements on the BBC, please. But looking around, I see that almost everyone of note is here. Beau Nash, Beau James, Beau Diddley. And who's that one with the ill-fitting trousers?
Beau Leggings. Tell me, Horn, what do you think of the pavilion?
Excellent. The decor is exquisite. Who did it?
Beaton.
Really?
Yes. Of course, personally, I think she should stick to her cookery book.
Well, I find it all quite entrancing. In fact, I was just admiring this fascinating period piece.
Ah, so you've met Mrs. Fitzherbert.
Good evening, gentlemen. My glass, I fear, is empty.
Pray allow me. I'll get you another sherbet for Mrs. Fitzherbert.
Thank you, Captain. Mr. Brummel, may I be permitted to say I find you most attractive?
Well, if I may be as bold as to mention it, so do I.
Do you not think my dress is somewhat fetching?
Yes, but I think perhaps you should go and fetch the rest of it.
Ah, Mrs. Erler, I do declare my breath has fair been taken away.
You should not lace your corset so tightly. I'm so glad that you both admire my own gown.
Yes, indeed we do, and your clothes are very nice as well.
What do you think of my attire this evening, Mrs. Erler?
Immaculate as ever, my dear Brummel. Yellow breeches, mauve shirt, scarlet waistcoat, and pink cutaway coat.
Should you not have had a purple cravat?
No, I don't want to look ridiculous. But you know, ma'am, I put my wardrobe above everything else.
It must be difficult to get at.
Like you, Mrs. Fitzherbert.
Steady, Brummel. Mrs. Fitzherbert came in on the arm of the Prince Regent himself.
True, and I fear he is a very jealous, possessive man. Still, I don't think he would mind if we dance, Mr. Brummel.
Oh, no, not this one, Mrs. Fitzherbert. It's a gavotte, and I don't do it very well.
Oh, never mind. It's not the gavotte you do, it's the way that you do it. No. Come along, Brummel.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the Prince Regent coming towards us?
Oh, yes, it is. Please, gentlemen. Gentlemen, I beg of you, do nothing to upset him.
Here we are, Fatty.
Brummel. There you are. I've been looking through for the last 5 minutes.
I was merely indulging in idle chit-chat with these two dandies.
This is indeed an honor, Your Highness. I am Beau Horn.
So you're Beau Horn, are you? The whole of Brighton is singing your praises. I've even heard some children in the streets chanting, "Little Beau Horn, come blow up your piece."
Oh, sire. Sire, you are a veritable wet.
No. No, Horn, you mean wit. Oh, I don't know, though.
Hello, who's this little riot of color?
This is Beau Brummel, Prinny.
Brummel, eh? Let me observe him as we're quitting drunk. Yeah.
It's rather like an ice cream sundae.
Insult.
What you might call malice through the quizzing glass.
What was that, the horn?
Nothing, sir. I was merely commenting on the vicissitudes of...
The vicissitudes?
City, sir.
You're a fine one to talk. Popping out of the cloakroom every 5 minutes to powder your wig. I mean,
really, please, control yourself, sir.
Well, don't these gentlemen realize I am the regent?
We don't care if you're the Odeon.
I do not intend to stay here and be insulted. Come, Mrs. Herbert, let us get in here.
All right, Philly. Shall we go on the pier?
No, I've been on it all evening. Couldn't drink enough. Oh, God. Good idea. And then an early night for you, my dear. Tomorrow, Mrs. Herbert is inspecting the troops.
Which makes a change from the troops inspecting Mrs. Herbert.
Before we go, Finney, I have an idea. Have you ever thought of appointing a fashion advisor?
Me? Why should I want a fashion advisor?
Oh, yes, thank you. Look at yourself. I've seen salads dressed better.
There. I may not be as flamboyant as you, Brummel, but the clothes have a very conservative cut. Mm,
true, and you are getting a bit liberal around the back bend.
Well, I think it's a splendid idea. With Brummel's dress sense, you could lead the world of fashion.
Well, I'll give it a try.
And Sir Brummel became fashion advisor to the Prince East. He divulged all the secrets of his laundry.
Now, look at these two piles of washing. Do you see the difference?
Yes, by Jove. These are washed in any ordinary soap powder.
Yes, that's right. And these are washed in a special concoction of mine. It consists of eau de cologne, lavender water, and a gay French perfume called Passion's Plaything.
And it's much better.
Oh, not only that. It's so much fun. Oh. All the shirts come out of the wash with their arms round each other.
The Prince Regent would also not choose a suit without Brummel's approval.
Your Highness, may I suggest the green herringbone with mauve undertones?
Oh, yes, that sounds nice.
Muck, rotten muck. Take it away. Show His Highness that material.
Pinhead.
Fish face.
Oh, definitely. That is excellent. Excellent. Yellow polka dots and silky satin.
Yeah. Very you, Prinny. Matches your complexion. Very well, Taylor. Make the suit.
Good. And now I must be going. I am spending a few days with Mrs. Herbert.
But, Your Highness, when are you going to try it on?
Well, after that few drinks, I thought I must... I see what you mean. Yes, I'll be back. Come, Brummel.
Is this where you arranged to meet Mrs. Fitzherbert?
Yes, Brummel, but she does not appear to be here.
Look, Winnie, there. She's left a note.
I wonder what's up. What she says.
Your Highness, I regret I am not staying in Brighton. If you'll excuse an expression I use, I'm in hove with a wonderful guy.
Infamous. She's gone off for some dandy or other.
I'll warrant he's that Beau Horn. He's got away with ladies.
He's not getting away with man. Come, Brummel, to Beau Horn, this.
Before we go, care for a pinch of snuff?
No thanks, I'm driving.
Quickly, Beau Horn. We must flee the country before the Prince Regent finds out. Have you finished packing?
Well, not quite. Now, let me see now. My satin pajamas, my velvet dressing gown, and... Oh, look at these. Aren't they pretty?
Oh, yes. What a lovely shade of scarlet. Yes.
They're such warm gloves, too. I must just slip them on. There.
So, I've caught you red-handed.
Oh, Prinny.
Your Highness.
Yes, it's Your Highness, all right. And the Brummel.
He looks as if we arrived just in time.
Oh, Prinny, I'm sorry, but I am in love with Beau Horn.
And I'm in love with her, and nothing you can say or do will alter things. You hear? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
All right, keep your hair on. You forget you're talking to a prospective George the Fourth.
Yes, that's true. He may come on to reign any moment.
Look here, Bohorn. Give her up and I'll offer you a baronetcy. I'll make you a bright and pure.
Well, I rather think it's up to Mrs. Fitzherbert.
Well, Bertie.
I told you, I love Bohorn. Please release me.
Oh, very well. I give you both my blessing. And Brummel here to be best man.
Oh, a good idea. Brummel, will you? Oh, look at him.
Oh, yes.
What's the matter? Don't you like my suit? It's blue. It's made of the very finest, sir.
Yes, it
is. Brummel, whatever's the matter with
him? Well, I think I know, sir. It's the old story.
What's that?
It's all with the blue material and against the biggest laugh.
That's all for this week. Next week, we'll be giving you details of a new public company to be formed by Ian Fleming, which will, of course, be issuing James Bond. Here you are.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Bertie Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Malcolm Lockyer. Eric Merriman wrote the script, your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by John Simmons.